of this show.
Good morning, everyone. This is BJ with Just Stuff. I am so glad that you were able to be with us today. Addiction or substance abuse offers a very destructive lifestyle, and being married to someone who is addicted is like being on a roller coaster. The substance becomes their priority. There are a lot of men and women who live in the shadow of their spouse's addiction. Some live in denial. Some try to cover it up because they don't want anyone to know. Some become enablers because they love their wife or husband and they don't want to lose them. Many of the spouses will lose themselves in the addiction behavior of a husband or wife and fail to care for themselves. Today, I have a guest who would like to share her journey with a spouse that was addicted. She wants to remain anonymous, and I respect that. And she will tell us what it's like to live with a spouse that's addicted. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing well, doing well. And I'm so grateful to you to that you're willing to share this information with the listeners because, you know, maybe what you say will help somebody else to come out of an addictive behavior with a spouse. So how long were you married?
Me and my husband was married for a short period of time, but we was together for I want to say about 17 years, you know, so we was together for a lot of many years.
Okay. How long did it take you to find out that he was addicted?
At the beginning, I mean, he didn't show no type of signs because he was functional.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It took a minute for me to realize that he was addicted to it because, like I said, he always maintained very well. So it took a long time to realize that he was really addicted to substance.
Oh, okay.
Because he healed it very well.
Okay, then. Now, did you ever go against everything you believed in just to keep the peace whenever you found out?
Yes. Yes, I did. I wanted him to be around me with ease. I didn't want him out about in the streets or hanging around with other people. So I want him to remain comfortable with me in our home. So mm-hmm. I know where he was at. So, I did go against my beliefs, whatnot, because of the fact I want him in a safe environment instead of out there running around in the streets.
Okay. And after you found out everything, did you continue to love him? And do you think by continuing to love him caused you to enable him in some way?
Yes. My love for my husband was his own destruction. I didn't hold him accountable for his actions. I blamed others for his destruction.
Mm-hmm.
He was in and out of jail constantly. I quickly came to his rescue, didn't let him take responsibility for his own actions. Instead, I just turned a blind eye to addiction. I became an enabler at that point. When I see and I didn't see.
Okay. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Were you ever in denial of his addiction? And you made that clear. Sometimes you just look the other way.
Right.
Like it didn't exist.
Right.
So how did your journey affect you as a woman, a wife, and a mother?
My husband's addiction affected me in all aspects. I had to pick up where he was slacking off towards the end of his addiction got really bad.
Mm-hmm.
He lost everything, you know. No transportation, no money, no job. I mean, he just lost everything. And it took a lot out of me as a wife and as a mother, because I had to pick up on the whole burden on my own, you know, mm-hmm. to maintain a safe environment for my children. So, yes, it affected me a lot. It made me turn to God and rely on him at the end of all. So,
well, that's a
lot of prayer I had to do, a lot of praying, because I was in it by myself. I didn't let nobody know what was going on. I didn't let anybody, my family didn't know about how bad it was, you know?
Mm-hmm. Were you embarrassed the reason you didn't tell anybody, or are you just thought you could handle it by yourself?
Both. It was a little bit both. I was embarrassed by the situation. I hid it from my parents. You know, my parents constantly asked me when he was going in and out of jail, was it drug related? I lied to my parents about it, trying to cover up, because I wanted to keep them on good terms with my husband. Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I did a lot of covering and lying, and part of his, because of his addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So it really didn't like I say, it hurted him in the long run instead of helping him. It hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And me.
So I would say that your emotional state was kind of weary.
Towards the end, I was isolated from my family. I mean, we pretty much hung by ourselves anyway, but it was even more so because I just never know what my husband will have on him. I mean, if he would have a pipe on him, or was he high? Was he, you know, just never knew. So I just became more isolated. Just stayed within the four walls of my home. That's all I did. Go to work and came back home.
And that's it. Yeah. You went to work and you went to work, and because I know you, and I know you were always pretty, well dressed, and hair done, and nobody would have. And I worked with you for a long time, and I never knew. And it just goes to show how well an abused spouse can cover things up. And nobody will ever know what you're going through.
Yes. I mean, I hid it pretty well. It was like very much scripted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You had to keep up appearances. But the thing about dealing with addiction, when stuff starts firing, at the end, walls will start coming down. So mm-hmm. towards the end, his habits started seeping in, and people started noticing things. You know, I wasn't able to get to work on time because his addiction would take him from the home at night.
Mm-hmm.
And he would take my vehicle, and when I would get up in the morning, he's gone. I mean, I couldn't get to work. So this did not happen one time, but two times. So I'm trying to explain to my employer, look, please don't hold this accountable for me, but because, you know, I'm trying to deal with things at home.
Mm-hmm.
And so it started to... His habit started to seep into that, into my life, and until that little perfect picture I painted for my employee, you know, my employer, you know, mm-hmm. and my coworker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it started coming down, and then, you know, even dropping me off work, he passed out on at the job, you know. So
oh my goodness.
Yeah, right there in the car, you know. Dropped me off. I mean, it was so quick. He dropped me off. We talked to say goodbye, and he drove off. But at the stop sign and whatnot, he just passed out.
My.
Yes, yes. So it started to take a toll towards the end. You know, I couldn't hide it no more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was firing out fast. So, you know, it just fired out. I just couldn't hold it together on his end.
So what was your emotional state like? What and what was it like for your children?
My emotional state was like I was, well, my spirit, I was tired. I was exhausted. I mean, I needed help. I mean, because I was working a lot, you know. Like, towards the end, he didn't have a job. He was watching the children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids, one thing why he did maintain to take care of them, whatnot. But some things, whenever he was doing his thing, he would just leave them, you know, unattended.
Oh, my.
Unattended. I mean, they'll be in the home, but he'll be outside in the yard, mm-hmm. you know. But these toddlers, you know.
Oh, my.
Right. So, so in that little part aspect, he was there, but he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, did he have a relationship with the children? Did he spend time with them?
He spent some time with them, but he had some type of relationship with them, but I don't think it could have been better, if you ask me. It could have been a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Than what he put on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If he wasn't dealing with drugs, it would have been a whole lot better than what he did for him.
Absolutely. Now, did you ever become just accustomed to living the way things were, just accepting what your marriage had become and, you know, living with an addicted spouse and all of his struggles? Did you just become accustomed to it and just, you know, like I heard you say in one statement, you just kind of gave up. Did you just give up and just accept where you were?
At one point in my time, I'm like, yes. It was hard. At the beginning, you know, he didn't show no signs of it. He was functional. He was able to work. I ain't had no problem. But towards the end, everything was fine, out of control. And me constantly coming home from work every day, I was fussing at him, arguing about things that he left, you know, unattended, like he neglected the household, whatnot. I would argue about that. It became emotionally the norm for me. It was like routine. Mm-hmm. Me coming home, me working a long day's work, coming home, the house messed up, the kids not taking care of properly. It was a norm for me. And it became too, to the point it was too much, you know. I had anxiety. It was depression, and everything else. So yes, it became a norm. It was like a vicious cycle, you know.
Mhm.
That I couldn't get off.
Did
routine.
You,
it was a routine.
Did you ever think about just leaving him?
No. No, I never thought about it. I love my husband. I was just an enabler, and I loved him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we can work it out. We can work through it. Because I always continue to talk to him, trying to motivate him and, you know, go and get help, you know?
Right. And he never wanted to accept help.
He didn't think he had a problem.
Oh, he was never in denial.
He never owned up to it.
That's something, and it's just amazing when I think about it, you know, all of the times we worked together, and I mean, you just didn't show any signs of a messed up relationship or of spousal abuse. You never showed any signs. You did a really good job of covering it up. So what would be your advice to someone living with in the same kind of struggle? What would be your advice?
My advice to them is, don't believe that you're helping them by letting them off the hook, not holding them accountable for their actions. It's only going to cause them their own self-destruction. So I just urge them to get them help. You know, you see these things, don't enable them. Just go ahead and get them help at a treatment center. Because it's all going to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And you.
So,
at the end.
So what happened? Did he ever get help eventually?
No, he never got help. And unfortunately, my spouse passed away.
Oh. Was it OD or just from problems? Not just for, that's makes it sound so simple. But was it from the use of...
No, he didn't die from overdose or any drugs, but I would say this, drug abuse was a factor of his demise. It was one of the factors. Yeah.
Okay. I tell you, that's sad, and people have to know when to draw the line, but sometimes when you're so in love with someone, like you said, you fail to see what's right in front of your eyes, and you become accepting of a behavior that's destructive, and would possibly destroy the whole family with that type of behavior. And if there's anyone out there who's living in a situation like that, there are resources for your type of struggle. You can go onto Google and they will give you many types of help centers that will help you to get through what you're going through. And, you know, there are a lot of organizations that are available for individuals living with addicted spouses. So if you're in a situation like that, then Google, find a place, because you deserve the best and you want the person you love to have the best. So, if you're in that type of situation, seek some type of help for the whole situation, for yourself, for your husband, for your children, so that you can live a better life. And it's always God first, always God first. So anyway, I do appreciate you for being with us today and sharing this information with us. And I am thankful for you being with us today, and you have a good life. Are things better for you?
Oh, yes. Yes, it has been a lot better. I'm sad to say I'm not stressed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning to enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the better. It was hard stopping because you know I lost the love of my life. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it was hard to come up, to go over that. But you know, but in return, I do have peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy that he's in a place that he's at peace and ease too,
mm-hmm.
free from addiction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know.
Okay, then. Well, thank you so very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And God bless you and your household.
Thank you. Thank you anytime. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, and you take care.
You too.
Bye. Thank you. knew us a long time ago. He loved us enough to allow us to be born. He loved us enough to allow Jesus to come. Jesus loved us enough to die for us. It would be a disservice to Jesus not to love ourselves after all he went through for me and you. God elevated us by loving us. Jesus elevated us by dying for us. The Holy Spirit elevates us by living inside of us. Keep God first and be your best self. Don't give negative words from others power over you. Let God change you from a caterpillar into a butterfly. Just a reminder, the best is yet to come. My contact information has changed. My email address is rosieyh615@gmail.com. My telephone number is 318-442-6011. Thank you. God bless.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
I'm going to preach a sermon that I preached some time ago. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. One verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. I want to remind each and every last one of us in here today what Jesus said to his disciples as he delivered the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men." I'm not going to change the thought. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, oh neighbor, don't you lose your salt." Following the Beatitudes, Jesus offered a series of teaching that, if incorporated in our lives, would revolutionize our very